This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Off hour two of the program is brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com and become a member. Their customer service unmatched. Got you covered for all kind of stuff. You refinance the mortgage, get a home equity line of credit, use it for business banking, personal banking. Great app. Makes it easy to move money around and get what you need done easier, quicker. And if you ever have an issue, I mean, customer service, incredible. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, the official credit union of 3 and Out.
You made a good point during the break, though.
I usually do.
Not you. Never you. I mean, if you just put money into a pot, like, do you get to take credit for every student athlete that gets an NIL deal of some kind? You're like, oh, yep, that was me.
That was me.
I helped get that guy.
I don't know.
90 cents of $1 went towards him, at least $1.
I got to figure out how to give the least amount of money possible and get the newsletter so we can keep everybody up to date on what's happening.
We just find somebody that's actually donating and be like, hey, man, can you just send me the newsletter?
Yeah.
Have you heard of anybody that's signed up for that? I mean, it's a good idea in theory, but it's like we talked about. Until a bunch of people are doing it, it's kind of like, who's going to go first? You know?
I have it.
Shoot. I have to give my email.
Yes, that's typically how the newsletter would work, unless you want a paper newsletter, which I don't think
they'd. I just wanted to see if they would accept like a very small donation.
Like a one-time deal?
Yeah.
Why don't you sign up for the monthly? It's only $20.
I'm on the one-time.
$20.
Donation page.
Mm. You're not going to give your all?
I'm going to wait and see.
Okay. I don't blame you.
Yeah, but if everyone's just waiting and seeing, Nate, then nothing's ever going to happen.
They even basically made an excuse for the website and said, the website's not very good because we're saving all our money to give to the athletes.
Smart. You got to give a reason as to why it doesn't look good. If it doesn't look good, I've not been on the website.
I don't think it looks bad.
Tell you.
It's fine. I don't think they needed to mention it. That's all I was saying. It's almost like a preemptive, just like, it's okay. You're like, who cares?
I do that a lot where I say something I shouldn't, and then I should have just not have said it to begin
with. Yes, I completely agree.
Say less. I just want to know how A&M's doing it.
But they told you. Some big marketing firm that already knew all the big businesses said, hey, you guys already donate to A&M Athletics. Why don't you just pile some of that money here, and we'll start negotiating NIL deals. And other
I don't
things.
Think they're doing it. That's not the way it was explained, though. There is no big company doing it. They're just linking individual companies with individual players.
You're sure?
No, but that's what was reported.
Okay,
that's too many individuals for my liking.
I mean, this says Spire has over 30 years of marketing experience.
Okay, see. Whatever A&M is doing, it's working big time.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe because of the NCAA stuff, we're taking it low key under the radar this year, and then we'll burst onto the scene whenever we can get all this stuff behind us. I mean, I think there might be some type of advantage to not coming out too heavy, too hot, too early, like A&M, right? I mean, you give all these guys all this money, and then they all leave after a year, and you look like a bunch of idiots, and maybe kind of waiting a year to see how you properly negotiate deals and don't get fleeced by some guys. Maybe there's a benefit there.
Maybe.
That'll be the real test. Like, how many of these guys that behind, how many guys that took all this money and got all these deals at A&M are there in 2 years, 3 years? Because at this point, there has to be a certain percentage of high school players who are only going to the place where they're going to get the most money. But every year, you can get a better offer somewhere else, most likely.
If you're good, yeah, I guess.
Right. I mean, well, hell. I mean, Ubers didn't even play for Ohio State, and I'm sure he's got some great deals going to Texas. He still hasn't played it down. I mean, and can you lock him in? I mean, I guess that's what they're wanting, right? 3 or 4 year deals?
Tate Martell is 4 years too early.
Oh, he'd have made a killing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did he do anything ever?
No, there was a video about what he actually. Well, he had like one game where he went like 10 for 10, like as a.
Yeah, and, for Ohio State.
Yeah, and then that
he set their like completion percentage record for minimum of 10 attempts.
Nice.
It was like something like that, and they thought he'd be good the next year, but then he got beat out again, and just I think that's when Justin Fields came in and beat him out.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. But yeah, guys like that, they're just going to make a bunch of money but not ever be good. Isn't that – like that's amazing to me. I really thought it would be the other way around. I thought it would be the better you are on a given campus, the more money you're likely to make. But this has just absolutely become – it's recruiting money. That's all it is. I mean, yes, obviously, guys that were at Tennessee and performed well have gotten deals. But clearly other schools are saying, whatever, you know, just come here and then you'll have these deals whether you're good or not.
Do you remember when Dave Hart lied to everybody and said when a player gets in trouble and they ask about or, you know, and they need an attorney, we just point them to the phone book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or they have like some suggestions, right?
He was asked if they do, and he said, nope, nothing. We just point them to the phone book.
And they all just happen to find the same couple of attorneys over and over again?
I talked to some attorneys in town, and that was a complete lie.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the university absolutely would say, hey, you might want to call one of these guys or girls. You know, this is the way to go. I wonder if A&M is just being much more proactive with that. Basically, like, reading the law of the land, like, on this NIL stuff a little differently and saying, like, yeah, we're not involved, but we're absolutely telling which booster – we're telling boosters which players we want so that they go out and – line up an NIL deal with them, and then,
well,
like I'm on.
Yeah, of course. Like whoever it is, and I don't want to necessarily use Spire as an example, but let's say, yeah, like Jimbo Fisher has a connection to this booster pool. I mean, it's boosters and donors.
Right,
you know, the coaches know the biggest ones. I'm sure that they have a list of guys and say, you know, here's our offer list, and you know, this is kind of our big board here, and these are the guys that are going to come in on a visit. So you guys can start talking to them about, you know, if they were to come to A&M, what could they possibly,
here's how I want stuff structured.
And at that point, like, Jimbo doesn't have to worry about it. It's like, hey, just, you know, whatever you guys, as high as you're willing to go to get him, definitely we want him. And then the kid, when they talk to him, says, well, I've got, you know, this is on the table from Texas and this is on the table from Alabama. You know, where can you guys compete with what they're offering? And if the coaches want him bad enough and the boosters agree, they say, oh, yeah, we can compete with that. We can beat that. Big time.
Listen to the stuff A&M's rolling on the school side. So they're calling their program Amplify. It's a good name.
Who is this?
Texas A&M.
Okay.
It's an innovative and comprehensive name, image, and likeness program.
Yep.
Designed to equip Aggie student athletes with tools and training to maximize their brand and platform. So basically, this is what the school's putting out for how they're going to train them to make as much money as they can while they're there and after school.
This is like that video we released about how we're going to –
with no details. They bullet point this here, that they're going to teach their guys how to build their digital brand. They're going to do financial workshops, effective networking workshops, evaluating job opportunities and negotiating offers, mock job interviews, understanding the Aggie Network and Letterman's Association. That reads like i.e. Brotherhood, like, hey – maybe you're not as good as you think you're going to be, but because you played at A&M, and if you, you know, give your all for the 12th man here, you know, you always have a job, you know, selling cars.
Which is true of a lot. I mean, yeah.
That happens all the time. I mean, it happens here all the time.
All the time.
Social media audit and analysis. And then they have this other program called influencer, where they've taken out the vowels and it's all caps, so it's INFLCR, influencer, best practices, and then creating custom content for your brand. So then they've got this brand building platform, the INFLCR, the influencer thing. Then they also have something called Compass, which is a fully integrated education and compliance solution developed by CLC, the nation's leading trademark licensing company.
Wow.
And GamePlan, which is another company, the premier provider of athlete education, will deliver interactive legal, compliance, and best practices education, as well as serve as the NIL deal disclosure and monitoring hub for student athletes and staff. So Compass points you to the right match, right? So you can get your deal done. And then they have something they call the 12th Man Creative, which helps them basically build a brand around their own person. Does their photography, social media professional stuff, state-of-the-art social monitoring tools. I mean, it's just crazy. Like, all this stuff rolling immediately. This is all just on the, you know, school side.
Yeah, what was the other company, Dave? There's Spire that's doing some of it, but then wasn't it Altius?
Mm-hmm.
They were doing like the educational side of it, and they were going to teach classes for credit.
They were the first ones to come out with anything, at least for what the university was talking.
Right. So there's like entrepreneurship classes that are focused on NIL.
Yeah,
you know.
I haven't heard anything else about them since.
That's that video that we always talk about. And they were out with that thing quick, man. It was here. It was good. It was nice. I thought it was tight. But has it worked? Has it happened? Are we still doing that? Did that just kind of fizzle? Or I don't know.
Well, and yeah, like I don't. So like if you go to Compass's website and game plan, like CLC. CLC has Learfield IMG underneath it.
That's us. We work with them.
Well, we're on the IMG like radio network and stuff. But I mean, nothing on here is Texas A&M specific. So, like, I mean, I would assume we could use these same companies to do something similar for our folks. So I just It's just all a little murky. Which can be good, can be bad.
It depends on how murky you can get too, right? Us being under the NCAA's watchful eye right now doesn't help. I mean, we can't really take many chances. Whereas A&M's like, hey, we're gonna kind of follow the rules as we see them, and if we do it wrong, just let us know. But whatever, we're probably too scared to make a mistake. Whereas, hey, we're operating under the we can't make a mistake at all, so let's not get risky. A&M saying we'll ask for forgiveness instead of permission.
That's the way you should do the NCAA all the time.
Well, I agree.
It's
except
not
I
the
think
path we started down, so we have to stay on this path until it plays out somehow.
Well, it's all about integrity, Nate.
Of course. Sorry.
How dare you? Come on. Jeez. You should know better.
I guess we'll just wait and see, Houston. We'll just wait and see. Come back with more Hour 2 next. Hour 2 continues live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Pick up some White Claw Hard Seltzer this week. 5% alcohol by volume, only 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar. It's White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure.
So we got all that NIL stuff sorted out. We good there?
Yeah.
As good as we can be, I suppose.
The only definitive about NIL is no one knows.
Yes, NIL. This is true.
Yeah, it's just it's a mess. It's a mess. Did you see last night Texas Tech went down to Kansas 94-91 in double overtime?
I did see that it went to double overtime. I did not see who won. So mm-hmm. Kansas got them.
Yep.
Way to go, Tech. Thanks
Texas Tech season, though, does it make you feel a lot better about how nasty that game was?
Not about how nasty it was. I mean, obviously, it feels better to know that they're halfway decent, but I still think, if you just play a marginal better game, just a little bit better, I mean, you win that game by double digits. I mean, we just played like junk. Defense was good, but, I mean, couldn't hit shots. But, yeah, I mean, it's nice to see. What are they now? They're still ranked, right?
They were 13th on this graphic, I guess.
Before. And Kansas was what?
Like 5th.
Okay, yeah, so they probably won't even drop after that then.
Not much, if any. New AP poll came out.
Yesterday, right?
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And
Tennessee did jump up 6 spots.
Tennessee up to number 18, yep. Ahead of LSU, who's now 19. And Auburn finally made it, Chris.
Yes,
finally
they did.
Finally got over the hump.
45 first-place votes for Auburn. Arizona did get a first-place vote. Mm-hmm. Didn't I feel like they had one the week we played. They've been getting like one random one here and there. Auburn, of course, 18-1, lone loss to Connecticut, who is up to 20th in the AP, 19th in the coaches' poll. And, of course, Arizona's lone loss, 16-1 to Tennessee in Thompson Bowling, where the Vols remain undefeated.
That's a huge win. I mean,
if you can
beat Texas, too, coming up this weekend, I mean, those non-conference wins are everything to the NCAA committee. I mean, they love to say, well, I know everybody thought Tennessee was going to be a 4, but they're a 2 because of, you know, when they played –
right
on the road at Texas and got that, you know, it showed that they did, you know, whatever.
I mean, you haven't had a bad loss, really.
No.
Based on who you've played. I mean, obviously you didn't play well against Villanova, but they're pretty good.
You haven't had a bad loss at all.
Mm-mm. And you haven't lost at home. Joe Lunardi did update his bracketology this morning.
Okay.
Let's see here. The last 4 in: Oregon, San Diego State, San Francisco, and again, updated this morning, so this takes in last night's loss. Florida is on the last 4 in. First 4 out, get this, Arkansas and Mississippi State both in the first 4 out, along with Michigan, who started the season. Were they 4th, Davey, to start the season? Weren't they way up there?
I don't recall.
4th or 5th?
They were up there. And the next 4 out, Kansas State, Texas A&M, Virginia Tech, and Cincinnati. Let's see here. Tennessee has moved out of Gonzaga's bracket and into Baylor's as the 4 seed. How you feel about that, Nate? They have us playing Chattanooga in round 1, and then in round 2 we would play the winner of – that's a weird – so Tennessee is playing Chattanooga and Alabama – as the 5 is playing UAB.
Huh.
Fascinating, right?
Yeah.
So we would get potentially Alabama in the second round, according to this.
Don't
so
like
obviously
that.
It'll change. I wouldn't mind seeing them again.
Here's the preseason top 25, top 10 before the season. Gonzaga, UCLA, Kansas, Villanova, Texas, Michigan, Purdue, Baylor, Duke, Kentucky.
So Michigan was 6th.
Yep.
And they are currently not in the tournament.
Wow.
Fascinating. That's it's a fall from grace.
Memphis was 12th.
Hey, they got a nice comeback win over Tulsa over the weekend.
You're not even supposed to play a conference team in the second round if you're a certain seed lines or something.
That's why I was kind of laughing at that. I think they'd try to avoid that.
Yeah.
The committee would. I mean, I know this is like, you know, Joey brackets, but has he really been that accurate the last few years? He hasn't, has he? That Delphi brackets got it almost perfect.
Not compared to
last year.
Some others. I mean, It's becoming more and more normalized where it's easier to predict just for everybody because they've put so many metrics in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, typically the most notable TV guys with mock drafting, NFL stuff, and bracket, they're not the most accurate because they spend less time on the actual work and have to put more time into production and being on TV and crap.
4 seed, though, it's not so bad.
Yeah. No, I'd love to. I'd love to be a 3. I think that's the number for me. I don't, you know, 2 or 3 is not a big difference. 4 or 5 is not a big difference. But no. It is a big difference to be a 2 or a 3 compared to a 4 or a 5. So when you're a 2 and a 2 or 3, obviously you get down the road, you're on the same line as each other. You're avoiding the 1. You're 4 or 5, you're taking on the 1 a round earlier. So
yeah, I mean, if you moved up to a 3, let's say we even stayed in the same bracket, instead of getting Bama in the second round, you would get the winner of, assuming you could beat Wagner, you'd get the winner of UConn West Virginia, the 6-11 game there.
Do not like UConn in the second round. That would be a nightmare.
I've not watched them play. Obviously, they must be halfway decent. I mean, they're ranked in the top 25, and they're the only team to beat Bruce Pearl's Auburn bunch. I mean, Nate's Auburn bunch. Excuse me. Sorry, buddy. Did you watch any of them? Have you watched them play?
I watched them play against Auburn, and I mean, they had pretty good guard play. They had,
I'm sure,
one guy who was a big that he looked pretty damn good against Auburn, and I think they're a very streaky team. But I think when they're on, I mean, they can beat anybody in the country, which they kind of proved that.
Yeah. They're 13-4, losses to Michigan State, West Virginia, so that's kind of weird, Providence, and Seton Hall. They do not have – wow, they do not have a loss by more than 8 points. No, excuse me, 4 points. They've lost 4 games by a combined what looks to be like 11 points maybe.
Oh.
Yikes.
Pretty crazy.
Big opportunity. I mean, you beat Florida tonight. That's a nice quality win for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, SEC standings, that's big. Get you primed and ready to go down to Texas. Win that one. That'd be a really nice win for this team's resume. Road game, top 25 opponent, kind of late in the season, proves you're hopefully getting better. That'd be really nice. And what time is that game Saturday?
8 o'clock.
Yikes. Okay. Don't know if I like that, but make it work. Nice to have a big game, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 8 o'clock. Kind of weird.
That's the primetime game of the SEC Big 12 weekend. I guess the other one to compete, let's see. Yeah, I mean, you get Kentucky at Kansas. Maybe that's the headline. You get Kentucky at Kansas at 6, but Tennessee gets the 8 o'clock game. Texas fell out of the top 25?
Yeah.
Well, hot dog. Never mind. I thought they were still ranked.
Nope.
They've lost 3 of their last 5. That'll do it to you.
I'll be catching some of these teams at the right time.
Yeah, Florida, I was wondering about that. Does that make you a little nervous? Like, you beat LSU on the rematch, but they didn't have Pinson. You got Florida tonight, but they're not going to have Castleton.
Nah, I'd rather just take them and just hope we continue to get better.
Okay.
I'd hate to be getting better and losing close games because those teams are kind of peaking. That'd be awful.
That's a good point.
Tonight in the SEC.
I will say, I like how the schedule sets up for the Vols whenever you look at what Texas has after us, because they play Texas Tech the following game. Chris Beard just left Texas Tech. So if you ever have heard of the phrase trap game, I feel like this is 100% a trap game.
Tough stretch.
You're old school. You got to go on the road to where you took a team to the national championship.
Do you think he's going to be looking ahead, whereas this is like Rick Barnes' Super Bowl?
Possible.
I feel Rick Barnes is going to be more prepared for the Texas game than Chris Beard is, than Chris Beard's going to be prepared for the Tennessee game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tonight in SEC, you have Alabama at Georgia, 6:30 on SEC Network. You have Auburn at Missouri, 8:30 SEC Network. And then at 9 o'clock, you have Mississippi State at Kentucky on ESPN.
You mentioned the traveling. Texas plays tonight, so they'll have an extra day, and they'll be at home for the game this weekend.
Okay.
Did you say we had Florida tonight?
No.
No, we have them tomorrow.
I know that, but did you say that? Somebody said tonight, and I was like, all right.
I literally just said, so they'll have an extra day of rest because Texas plays tonight.
Before that, I'm just saying what I got a text.
I don't know. That obviously, we know Florida plays Tennessee Wednesday. It's a 6 o'clock tip. Kind of sucks. 6 o'clock.
What's wrong with the 6 o'clock tip?
Well, the crowd just gets there a little late usually.
That, yeah.
You know, get, it's tough to get off work.
I'll ride on that. That's you're probably right. It is Florida, though, right? I mean, people still get up for that game. Yeah, I know they're not as good as maybe they have been, but.
Yep. Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, LSU are your other Wednesday night SEC games. Obviously, all teams in action either Tuesday or Wednesday in conference play. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Hour two continues live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. I mean, maybe this will be the year Tennessee just kind of. I mean, you mentioned it. They look like dog crap at times, but.
Yes, they have.
If I showed you the team on paper right now at the beginning of the year, you'd probably be like, okay, this looks about right. Looks like what I expect. I mean, maybe.
What are you talking about, like the record and everything?
Yeah, if I just said, hey, you know, going to be 13-5 at this point in the season, going to be 4-3 in league play. You know, you lost Alabama, LSU once, and Kentucky. You know, the only non-conference losses were to Villanova and Texas Tech, but you did beat Arizona, who has a first-place vote. And, you know, I mean, if you look at the schedule, games that matter, right, you beat North Carolina, Colorado, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You lost to Villanova and Texas Tech. That was pretty much the non-conference five games that mattered. So you're 3-2 against those, like, you know, maybe all those don't get in the tournament, but those are tournament-type teams, and, mm-hmm. and some of them very good teams. And right now you're 4-3 in the league, but four of those seven games were against the tournament teams. You know, two against LSU, Alabama, and Kentucky. So four out of the seven games were against tournament teams. You only won one of those so far, but you did win the other. You haven't lost to a team that's not going to make the NCAA tournament yet, much less have one of those random, like, you know, losses to a mid-major that sometimes even really good teams have back in their past. So, I mean, maybe this is the year where you just kind of take care of business. You look pretty bad at times, but hopefully you can keep getting a little bit better, a little bit better. Hickman said during the break, Kenny Chandler shooting 45% from the free throw line.
That is unbelievable.
In conference play. Can't win doing that. Not gonna win close games.
Got to have your point guard. I mean, you want the ball in his hands for a lot of reasons, but you would hope that guy late can hit his free throws. And 40, I mean, that's just, it's unbelievable.
I mean, he's down to 60% for the season.
Well, the good news is Rick Barnes is on the case.
Oh.
He's discovered the problem with Kennedy Chandler, and they are working on his free throw shot. And I noticed this, but I thought
what's
it was
the problem?
He kind of fades away when he shoots it. Like, he leans back as he shoots. So he's not really using his legs much. It's kind of all arms. And instead of adjusting with his legs, he's falling back but shooting the same stroke, so he's long, and then he tries to fix it and he's short. Rick Barnes says it's a concentration issue. Yeah, the problem too, Nate, is that he's shot more free throws than any other player on the team, and he's at 60%.
Yeah, that's a big issue. But, I mean, he's not a guy that gets up there and looks like, you know, Shaq, like he's...
No, that's what's weird. Yeah,
I mean,
he's
a pretty good shooting motion. I mean, he's a small guard. I mean, it's what you do. You shoot the basketball.
Barnes says he stays after practice to work on free throws every day, and he'll go 94 or 95 out of 100. So when he gets into the game, clearly it's about concentration and maybe he's nervous.
Maybe he is. That is odd.
Well, see if we can get it fixed. Need to. Kind of a big deal. I mean, really, it's a whole team issue, though.
Yeah, no, it is.
We broke down the numbers last week. I mean, everybody on this team is, I mean, significantly less efficient from the free throw line this year than they were the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned it, the Lady Vols are, too. It's strange. Maybe it's just something in the – maybe the Pratt Pavilion rims are off, man.
I thought when I looked at that Florida Ole Miss score and then went through the box score how bad Florida shot it, I was like, wouldn't it almost make sense if you're a terrible offensive team and a bad team in general, when you have home games, like, just make the rims like an inch shorter, an inch taller?
You can't do that.
Why not?
What are you doing?
Why not?
Why?
I was just saying, like, it's like the Raiders back when John Madden's there, just wet the field down, you know? Like, why is this field
The refs have to get the checklist that the rims are right?
Like why is this field so muddy? It hadn't rained here in 3 months. Like, sorry.
I mean, but you can't change the dimensions of the field. I mean, yeah, you can make it. I mean, should we throw water out on the court, too, when they're running on a fast break?
You know?
Oh, I got a leak up there. Sorry. It's not raining. Well, pipe burst, something like that.
They're just extra sweaty today.
I mean, Notre Dame's done stuff like that. Like, they let the grass grow for their games against Southern Cal for a long time. Slow them down. Oh, like, that's slowing you down also.
Yeah, but, you know, some teams play better slower than others.
It always is weird to me, like, at halftime when somebody will come out and they'll adjust the rims.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen before several times.
That should be
illegal. And they'll only do one. It's I think that should be the same for the other team in the second half.
Can't do that.
It happens.
Whatever you played in the first half, you got to go to the second half.
It happens.
Switching ends. I was just saying, like, it'd be cheating. I'm not saying it's not cheating. I'm just saying if you were.
I thought you were
I'm not saying us. I'm not saying we're bad enough to have to do that. I'm talking about a team like a team that's really just terrible. I mean, if you have aspirations like we do, you wouldn't want to do that. I mean, we got to win a bunch of neutral site games coming up on 10-foot rims. I don't want to mess up our shot. I'm just saying, if you're just
do we think
super
anyone
bad,
does that? Do we think anyone does that?
I don't know. I didn't
like if you're a really good post team but not so good at shooting, wouldn't you just want to tighten those bad boys up? Just, I mean, the stiffest rims in the country.
I mean, is that legal to make as long as they're at height?
But we're gonna get into Deflategate here.
Or is there like, or isn't there a machine and it has to be between a certain number? So maybe, right at the top
on
end
the
of
tension.
The zone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you tighten it up a little bit. Oh, yeah, we check the tension. Tension's good.
Yeah.
Like, what's the ref going to do? Call it out there in the middle of the game? Said, hey, I want to test the tension again?
Tightened up.
Got cold. Yeah. Rim's tightened up a little bit. Yeah. But, yeah, you hang it on the front of the rim, and you hold this metal dial at a certain height and drop it. And if it bounces back up into the range, you're set.
You're good.
I don't know what we need to do, but we're the worst shooting team in the country on neutral site floors, and you can't convince me otherwise. I would rather us go play at Cameron Indoor against Duke than have to play Duke in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I never want to go back there after that performance.
Or any neutral court.
We shot
it's
well
a home
against,
game for Duke either way.
We shot well against Carolina.
That's it. Villanova, terrible.
Yeah.
Texas Tech, terrible. That's why, I mean, I think we beat Memphis, but I was kind of scared just because we're playing on a neutral floor.
We would have beat Memphis. Bates would have been out. They ran from that game, and their season turned to absolute junk afterwards. Penny could say he wanted the smoke all he wants, but they didn't want the smoke that day. They were about to get drilled. Good on Barnes for not making that up. Could you imagine if we had to play one of those makeup games like Florida did? Like, if we had to play Memphis last night and then Florida tomorrow, that'd be brutal.
I kind of want to play Memphis, though, at some point. Can we slot them in somewhere?
You got nowhere to slot them.
Beat their ass.
We got to worry. Well, we're focused on SEC play
now.
No,
it's fine. We
play Texas this weekend.
What?
You said SEC play. Focused on SEC play.
Well, I know, but
Memphis Friday night. We can beat them so bad it won't even matter.
Friday night,
yeah.
And then Texas Saturday.
Yeah,
you're an idiot.
Late game
you say that, but
you're an idiot.
That would be followed up with a 19% from 3-point range shooting performance.
You know, if we have a game, Barnes can't run them.
Well, they say coaches want to make practices harder than games. It's hard to.
There you go.
Maybe they'd like that.
Mm-hmm.
Be better for them than running wind sprints after a win over Florida tomorrow. Hopefully. I don't like that, though, no. No Memphis on Friday.
With Memphis's win, whenever that was, they now have sole possession of sixth place in the American Conference.
I watched that game. They were down pretty big in the first half, and then, of course, I tweeted about them, and they came back and won. Tulsa had a shot late to win. What was the final score? Did they win by 1, 2, 3? They had a shot late and didn't even get one to the rim.
It was 83-81.
Yeah, so they were. I think they were trying to look for a three to get the win, and they didn't even get a shot off. I think they threw it out of bounds. It was absolutely brutal. It was like Scottie Pippen-esque. Scottie Pippen Jr. for Vandy. Just brutal. But Penny was, he was feeling it after that comeback.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Penny. On the road, too. Maybe they're starting to figure it out.
Yeah, well.
Don't come at him, man.
I know. Angry Penny.
Bleepity bleep.
This is the best Penny, I guess. Come back, final segment, hour two next. This segment of the program brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Make your appointment. Go see Drs. Malone or Costa right here in West Knoxville. Cedar Bluff area. Easy to get to. Easy to deal with. Take great care of you. The dental offices of Knoxville Smiles. Make your appointment today at KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
Depot, Dave? You got one all queued up, ready to go?
Why not?
Can't wait.
Love his attitude and spirit. That's amazing. Just always so eager, ready to go, prepared. Mm-hmm. Man, that's just it's such a big deal.
I got another conspiracy theory I want to go down.
Okay, good. Any teasers on the actual theory?
I think just it's dead.
All right, yeah, sounds great. Really, really excited for that one. That'll be fun, I'm sure. Looking forward to it.
Thought this article about the Arizona's ownership being mad about the 49ers-Rams NFC title game was going to have something juicy in it, but it doesn't. Basically just said Arizona's mad they're not in the game.
I would say that's probably accurate.
So we got to do better.
Titans lost Hurts more today than it did yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Why is that? Just kind of hitting you. The season's over.
Yeah. It's like as they start to ramp up for the conference championship games this weekend, it's just like I should be getting set for a fun weekend to hang out with friends and watch that game. It's no longer the case.
You can hang out with your Tennessee friends and watch that game.
Well, I will. I mean, I've got to.
Okay. You are going to watch the basketball game?
I plan on it.
What does that mean? I mean, it's Tennessee, Texas. It's Barnes going back.
I want to watch the game. Like, don't
why,
get me wrong.
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you just pencil it in? Like, I'm going. I'm done. I'm watching the game. You can do a spaces afterwards?
I don't know where I'll be.
What does that mean? Like, what are you being so mysterious for? Are you going to be on a binger or what's going on?
Like, I have a bachelor party to go to.
Okay,
and I don't,
so there it is. There it is.
I don't know exactly. Like, I have all my, not all of them, but I would say at least 90% of the people that I'll be hanging out with are Tennessee fans.
Okay.
They'll probably want to watch the game, but, you know, it's a late game. It's probably going to get up early, start having fun, and then I just...
Start having fun.
Yeah.
So you might not be awake by 8 p.m. is what you're saying.
There's a chance. I'm not ruling it out, but I don't know. I don't want to commit to something that I can't guarantee you will or will not happen.
It's one of the biggest games of the year.
And I hope we win. I'm looking forward to it.
I hope we win. I hope we win every game. Hickman, you going to watch the game? It says maybe from Hickman, too.
Come on.
Get out of here.
I wouldn't miss that one.
Good.
A lot on the line. Good storyline there. Rick Barnes returns to Texas.
It's surprising that it's been this long and we still haven't played them yet. I mean, like, that's wild.
We went all out for this trip. Like, I showed you the picture yesterday.
Yeah,
like,
you did.
Our cabin has an indoor pool. Like, which is a terrible idea. And I'm already under the impression like someone might drown. But As long as we have fun, you know.
What a terrible out. You are just the most pessimistic.
I know.
Oh, one of my friends.
Tuesday, or somebody's going to die.
Me or one of my friends may die.
Hope there's a lock on that thing. It's just like.
A lock?
Yeah. Like to get into the pool area. So we need to just like.
What, are you going
to
have like a designated key guy?
Yeah, and then just like put a big sign. It's like, do not enter past this point.
It should be like a 5-digit code, and if you can't see the numbers to punch it in, you can't get in and swim.
What's that app? They used to have it. It's like if you were too drunk, you couldn't operate your phone.
Like you, oh yeah, like lock
your
text.
You had to do a math problem to like
open to
your
send
phone.
A text and all that. Yeah.
Smart.
That was a pretty smart idea. Well, wait, wasn't that in the movie Interns or something?
It might have been.
Or the internship.
The internship with
yeah.
the.
Vince Vaughn
and Owen Wilson.
Yeah. I think that's the
it
app
might have been.
They came
I
up
remember,
with.
Like, I had a friend who actually had that on his phone.
So that ended
and
up
it was,
being a real thing?
Yeah, it was just, like, so he wouldn't, like text an ex. Hmm. I was like, that's smart on your behalf.
Yeah, it's a good move.
It's like you understand your flaws and your limitations, so you're going to work towards, instead of just not getting too far gone, you're just going to install something to where you can't actually contact them.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're just not good at math and you wait? Well, like, what if they give you like a calculus problem or something?
Yeah, and your phone's just locked forever. It's like that guy who lost his Bitcoin password. You're just toast. You just salute and say, adios.
There you go.
It is what it is.
And that was the perfect time you wanted to sell.
Seriously, that was probably when it was at its peak, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely over 60 at that point.
Did we talk about that yesterday on the show, Odell Beckham?
No, we did before.
We did before
that
the show?
In the breaks.
I mean, you talk about bummer. I'm surprised he's playing as well as he is, considering.
He's not playing for money.
And basically playing for free. Did you hear us talking about this?
So
he got, $750,000. That was his deal to finish out the season with the Rams.
Okay.
$750,000. He was trying to get ahead of the thing. Said, I'm going to take all that in Bitcoin. At the time, you know, he got $750,000 in Bitcoin, but Bitcoin was worth 60, or was it 75? No, it was like 65,000 a share. Mm-hmm. It's now worth 35,000 a share, and he has to pay taxes on the 750,000. So with the price of Bitcoin dropping and him paying 50%, or is over 50%, it's like 50.8% in federal and state taxes for California, he is playing, for the price of Bitcoin right now, he's playing for $35,000. Total to finish out. Now, if it goes back up, obviously he makes some money off of it, but whew,
right,
he's
doing well. I want to own up. I mm-hmm. thought he was washed. I thought his injuries were too much for him to overcome. And you look at his time, he had a couple of good years in New York and then it was downhill. Mm-hmm. Didn't really show up too much in Cleveland, but he's.
Well, I think we're
in,
now seeing what happened in Cleveland.
He's
like it's
in,
Baker Mayfield. It was his biggest problem in Cleveland.
Admirably for Robert Woods, and he's done a solid job. And I stand corrected. The guy still has something left in the tank.
Yeah, they ran, I guess not a feature, but they talked to a lot of his teammates and then gave their quotes about him. Said, oh, he's a great teammate. He's, you know, uplifting us all the time. He shows up. He works really hard. We have no issues whatsoever with Odell Beckham Jr. And I said, probably just wait a little bit. Like, when he gets unhappy, he does have a little bit of a problem. But it's hard to blame him for what happened in Cleveland. I mean, if you go back and watch some of the tape, he's running wide open, and Baker just refuses to even look at
it. It's like there was some beef there behind the scenes.
I could see that. I mean, it probably...
Two egotistical guys.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, one game, you miss him wide open, and mm-hmm. Odell Beckham says, hey, I'm open on this route, and then Baker takes that personally. Like, if you're open, I'll see you and throw you. And then Baker probably gets vindictive and intentionally doesn't target him, thinking, nah, I don't need this guy. I can do it with the other dudes, and it didn't work out.
If you could redo it, Davey, I'm assuming you would take OBJ over Julio.
Yeah, I mean, he's been healthy. Yeah. Julio had his last two games were good, but, I mean, based off his cap hit, it's not been adequate. But, like, I mean, his biggest thing is just injuries, and so I'm under the impression they're going to bring him back for 2022. They don't really have any other options as far as, like, a number two wide receiver. Like, AJ was the best wide receiver on the field that day against Cincinnati. And, I mean, he's definitely – he could easily be a top five wide receiver when you look at his physicality and just some of what he's able to do once he gets the ball in space.
They need to get Downing out of there. I mean, if you look at the Niners and what they were able to do with Debo, I mean, they body type wise, they're very, very similar. AJ and Debo Samuel, and I think there's a lot of different stuff they could do with AJ and get him the ball.
AJ's, they're different. I don't think AJ's definitely not as quick as Debo is, and he's bigger. My thing, and if I'm Mike Vrabel, I like that he's not done anything yet. You don't want to do anything rash, and it's one of those things to where there's some decisions that him and John Robinson need to make of roster wise, and I'm not quite sold on Todd Downing. I don't know if they'll move away. I thought they should have gone out and gotten somebody else last year, but I don't pull the trigger on anything for at least a couple of weeks. Like, you don't want to do any knee-jerk reaction type things, because that's where you can really set yourself up for some trouble down the road. You just need to wait a second, cooler heads prevail, and then reassess.
Do you see what Vrabel said about Downing yesterday?
I did, but go ahead and read the quote.
Just said, I think Todd Downing does a great job. I don't, Mike. Mm-hmm. I don't think he does a great job.
Yeah, that's a...
I think Todd does a great job. He's a great coach. I think he's a hard worker. There's always going to be calls you'd like to have back. There's plays you'd like to have back. I try to see how guys communicate with each other, the players. Are we all on the same page? Is there good communication? How do we do on third down in the red zone? I love the relationship that Todd has with the assistant coaches, and all the players will continue to improve.
I know we're up against it. One thing, and I'm just trying to take a step back. I was not happy with Shane Bowen whenever they made the announcement that he was going to be the defensive coordinator. Now, granted, they gave him the full role, and he had that helped with communication issues, but he didn't look good last year, and that defense didn't. But this year, I mean, they were night and day different.
Yeah, they were so much better.
And so I'm thinking, well, maybe Vrabel, he was right about Shane. Maybe there's a chance. He's like, give Todd another year in the system. Hopefully we don't have to battle as many injuries. There's some more continuity between him and Ryan, and things get better there. So, again, we got a long off season. There's plenty of time to discuss this. But, yeah, it is frustrating. And I thought towards the second half of the season, Todd really struggled, and it was very frustrating at times.
It was obvious, too. It was bad. Just some really questionable stuff.
Yeah. It's just a sucky way for the Titans to go. We'll come back, kick off hour number three. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.